friend for now. Nah. You can only have one best friend. You can have only one best job. Okay? Unless you get another one and then that one supersedes it. So the issue is best is only one at a time. At a time. See, we need to understand that God is best. God is best. There is no one else but Him. He should be the best thing in your life. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other what? Gods before me, because God is best. There is no other God. He says this in Isaiah 45, the first part of this verse 5, he says this. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. So God is best. He is our best friend. He is our best friend. And Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, the last part says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There are some things that you will tell your best friend that you won't tell your other friends. There's things that you will tell your best friend that you won't tell your brothers and sisters. There's things that you tell your friends that you won't tell your parents, but you better not hide things from them. Better not hide things from them. Here, kids, don't hide things from mom and dad, okay? So the issue is that God is our best friend. There's a friend that sticketh closer to a brother. So what does God deserve out of us? What does God deserve out of us? God deserves our best. He deserves our best effort on our homework. He deserves our best effort in our behavior. If your parents tell you to go clean up your room and you do a half-hearted job at it, you didn't give it the best. And guess what? You're going to have to do it over. And some things that God wants us to do, we don't do it right. So guess what? We get to do it again. And God deserves our best because He is best. He's the only best. He's the definition of best. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, and whatsoever ye do, anything you do, okay, do it what? Heartily. Now, what does heartily mean? Give it your best effort. Don't hold anything back. Give it your best effort. As to the who? Lord, because God is who? Best. God is best. He deserves our best. And not unto men. How many best friends can you have, kids? Very good. We learned, okay? One. Okay? One. Awesome. So that's everything for this week, kids. We'll see you next week. For us this morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We've been going through invitations in the Bible. And this morning, we are going to look at a very familiar passage. And it's an invitation that Jesus gave. And He says, come and find rest. Come and find rest. And we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. But before we read God's Word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You that You are best. We thank You that Your Word is best. Lord, we thank You that everything about You is great and awesome and beyond compare. Lord, we just ask that You just help us as we preach Your Word today, Lord. We study Your Word. We see the truth of Your Word, that it would change our lives. Lord, I pray that You have Your Holy Spirit have full reign here today, Lord, that we would not be a distraction or give in to distractions. Father, I pray that it would change us, Lord, that we would leave here different than we came in. Father, help us, Lord, to find the rest that only You can give. And we give You the honor and glory and praise, for we ask these things in Your name, Jesus. Amen. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30, it says, and at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ is talking to the crowd. He has just upbraided a bunch of people and basically corrected them. And now he's talking about this, and he says, look, he wants everybody to understand that he was God in the flesh, and he's talking to his heavenly Father. He wanted everybody to understand that his direction and his word and his will is coming from God himself in heaven. And so then he goes on and he gives this invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find what?
Rest
unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All of God's invitations in the Bible are his expressions of love. The first one that we saw was with Noah, that Noah found grace in the sight of God, and God loved Noah so much that he saved his family and himself in the ark and come into the ark. We need to pass that love of God on. In the wilderness, Moses' father-in-law comes to him. And basically, Moses says, come with us. Come with us. We need others to come with us because we need to express God's love through us, and they need to find God's love in them. And then in Isaiah chapter 1, come and be clean. Come and be clean. We have things in our life that basically breaks relationship with God. He doesn't want that in our life. He said, come and get this fixed. God wants to fix you today. He wants to take away the sin. He wants to wash them away. He says, come and be clean. And folks, when we come to God, we will come and be satisfied, as it says in Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. And so these are the invitations that we've been going through. We need to be satisfied with God, not with things. We need to be satisfied with the potential of heaven and the hope that He gives us, and not with the world. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. We see, come and let us what? Return unto God. Maybe you need to return to Him today. Every time the word come is used in the Bible, it's about you come and then you do something afterwards. It's a commandment to get you prepared to do something else. And all these are expressions of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God invites you today to come to salvation.
Amen.
They are revealed. These invitations are to saints and to sinners. If you go back and you look up in your Bible a couple verses before, Christ is basically calling them out, calling the cities of Chorazin out, calling the cities of Capernaum out, because He's been doing these things there and they didn't receive Him. They didn't receive Him as being God's Son. And He goes on, He says this, He says, if I had done these things in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented long ago. As soon as they saw, they would have changed their life. Folks, these invitations should cause us to change immediately. It should make us want to yearn for God. And so, God's invitations are expressions of His love. This is the first invitation that we find in the New Testament. It's an invitation to us. We are all in the conditions that Christ is saying, come unto Him and you'll find rest. Every one of us today here has been through these circumstances that cause us to need rest It was an invitation to the weary. Invitation to the weary. Sometimes we sound like the psalmist. David had a lot of trouble in his life. And David needed God to intervene in his life. And David was wore out at times. And in Psalm 69, verse 3, maybe you feel like this. He says, I am weary of my crying. I am weary of all the things that are going on in my life and going on around me that I can't control. Make it stop. Make it stop. He says, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. Mine eyes fail while I wait for the Lord. We know that everything that comes into our lives is a spiritual test. Finally, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse what? Temptations or trials. So some of us may feel like the psalmist today, and we're weary. Some of us may be at the end of a rope. We're getting near the end of a rope. God says, come to me. This is a personal invitation. Everything in the Old Testament has been through a prophet or through God speaking. But now God's standing in front of the crowd. Christ is standing before you today saying, come and find rest. Come unto me and find rest. It's an invitation to find rest. Some people say, well, I don't need this. The whole book of Hebrews, written by Paul to the Jews, basically talks about that Christ is best than everything. He's better than anything. And that you need to come into His rest. They thought that coming into the promised land was rest enough. They thought that having their enemies conquer was rest enough. That's not what God is talking about. He's talking about an eternal rest. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about rest to your souls that'll get you through anything. I will never, ever leave you, nor yet forsake you here. Why I live by faith and do His blessed will, a wall of fire about me. There's nothing now to fear. Amen. See, we need to understand. God wants us to have rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His what? Rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. God wants you to get into His rest today. God doesn't want you to get almost there and turn away. God wants you to experience what He alone can give today. So, there's three invitations in this passage. The first invitation is an invitation to physical rest. I find out that as I get older, I can do less stuff. And this week, there was something on Monday, and something on Tuesday, and something on Wednesday. I came home, I was going to mow my yard on Thursday. And I looked at the yard and I said, not happening. Not happening. I'll save it for another day. Besides, it's hot. Okay? You know, don't you get to that point? Don't you get to the point that you just wear out? And He says here, God's invitation here is to all ye that labor. Now, in today's economy, in today's society, there's a lot of people think they get something for nothing. But my Bible tells me if you don't work, you don't eat. All of us need to work. Okay, all of us need to work at relationships. All of us need to work at our families. All of us need to work at serving God. All of us need to partake in physical labor, and if you don't, there's consequences that happen to that. See, Jesus didn't come down as a king. He will. Jesus didn't come down as this ball of light and everybody go, ooh. Jesus came down as a normal person. He came down as a hard-working person. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, people were looking at Jesus as, is this not the what? carpenter's son. They could identify Jesus because he did carpentry. He did carpentry. Is not his brother, mother called Mary, and his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? See, he knows about long hours of labor. You know, sometimes at the end of the day of dealing with the crowds and everything else, he went away to a mountain and prayed while his disciples slept. Jesus knows what it is to put in a hard day's worth of work. Look at the people that he called. Look at the illustrations that he gave. He talked about farmers, about sowing and reaping and putting the seed out amongst different types of soil. He talked about shepherds, and you know, if you ever tended sheep, they're hard to get along with. They just kind of wear you out. It's kind of like herding cats. You just can't do it, okay? He understood that there's effort involved in this. Who did he call? He called fishermen. Stinky fishermen who go out all night and don't catch a thing and have to go out the next day just to scratch out a living. Jesus identified, he says, we have a high priest of what? He can be touched with all the infirmities that we're going through. Christ has been there. He's been there. He's been there for you and for me. Amen. For you and for me. He chose hardworking men to be his disciples. He didn't choose somebody who just read a lot of books. He chose people who could actually do things.
Right.
And that's the same thing today, folks. See, God, Jesus identifies with working people. Earlier we just talked about sometimes we need to find strength to carry on. And Jesus understands that. Remember when he was preaching on a hillside and there was 5,000 men there and they stayed there listening to Jesus all day long? And then there was a big issue about, what are they going to eat? They're all hungry. God knows that. He knew that. And so he made a way for them to eat. He was thinking of others first and not himself. Jesus understands and cares. He offers strength to us. Very familiar passage in Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 31 says, but they that what? Wait upon the Lord. In this issue of getting into rest, if you don't do it God's way, you're going to fall short of it.
Right.
That's what Hebrews 4:1 says. You're going to fall short of it. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They should mount up with wings as eagles. They'll get above the problem. They shall run and not be weary. They should walk and not faint. Yesterday, ladies stopped by for prayer, to talk. Started listing all these things out that was going on in her life. And the issue was, is that I just don't know what to do. And the impression I got was she's waiting for God just to intervene. God's not going to do that. God wants us to work. We're supposed to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for salvation, but work out because we are saved. James says it this way. So faith without works is dead, being alone. That's a memory verse of last week. See, we need to work for God. Sometimes we get tired. There is a warning. Be not weary in well-doing. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, I can do what?
All things.
How many things?
All
things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He understands your needs. He understands when you're tired. But he wants to give you rest. He wants to give you physical rest. Those who come to Jesus find rest. He says this. He says, come unto me, All ye that labor and what? I'll give you rest. So the first part of that verse, verse 28, was talking about physical labor. We all do that. We all get tired. But God gives you the strength to carry on. God gives you the strength to go beyond. God gives you the strength to go to the completion. So this was an invitation to physical rest. You know, secondly, there's an invitation to emotional rest. You know, sometimes we get to a point where we just want to just cash it all in and be done with it. Don't you get there? Kids drive you nuts. Work drives you nuts. Friends drive you nuts. Neighbors drive you nuts. You know, circumstances drive you nuts. Finances drive you nuts. Health concerns drive you nuts. Bills drive you nuts. There's all sorts of things that drive you nuts. I've had it. I can't do it anymore. Well, there's an invitation to all that are what? Heavy laden. This is can be looked at very different ways. We could be laden with sin. You could be laden with problems. But the issue is, and the reality of it this, is emotional burdens drain our strength. Worry makes you tired. Cares rob us of energy. In Psalm 127, verse 2, it says, It is vain. What does vain mean? It doesn't do anything. It's worthless. He said, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. This is worrying about stuff. Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, He says, don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat. And then seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow will take thought of itself. And then what did it say? Sufficient to the day is the what? Evil thereof. You want to look for problems? You want to find problems? Just look for them. They're there. I don't need to look for them. They just kind of come. But the problem is sometimes we take our problems, we make them bigger than what they are. We think we want to look like we're being the victim. Those problems there are to help us to get better for God. Those problems there are to help us to grow. The guy says, look at this. Rise up early, sit up late, you lose sleep. To eat the bread of sorrows, it says, for He giveth us what? Beloved, sleep. When someone comes to me and says, I can't sleep at night, I go right to this verse. What's keeping you from sleeping? It's not God. Maybe unless you're in sin and you need to get that right. Maybe if you're under conviction. But we all can agree that emotional burdens can drain us. Maybe some of you are here today drained. I've had enough. See, the heavy laden with cares can find rest in Christ. This verse says this. It says, and are heavy laden, and I will what? I will give you rest. I won't think about it. I will give it to you. See, we need to cast our cares on Him. We know these verses, but it's one thing to know it. It's another thing to apply it. It's another thing to live it.
Right.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Now, he knew problems. He knew problems. What he says, casting all your care upon Him. You know, some people just like to be miserable. That doesn't work like joy unspeakable and life abundant and all that other stuff. You just want to be miserable. If you want to suck eggs all the time, fine! That's not what God has in purpose for your life. He wants you to have joy. And Peter says, hey, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you, because he wants to give you something bigger than your problems. Well, God can't solve my problems. Wait a second. Is the arm of the Lord shortened that it cannot save? Is there anything too hard for me? You know, he gives peace when we're troubled. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. You know, you go down and say, I'm depressed. You get what? Pills. Now, sometimes you need pills. Sometimes medical conditions cause you to be like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that self-inflict their stuff and say, well, and you get down this, and you go and you're, I need help. The world's just going to get you something to deaden it. God's going to give you something to cure it. Amen. He's going to give you something to cure it. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your what? Heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And some people are just paralyzed by their problems. They're paralyzed by their problems. We need to cast our care on Him. He gives us peace when we're troubled. His peace guards our heart. If you want to turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, and be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. By what? Prayer and supplication. James says, if any of you are afflicted, let him pray. Any of you sick, call for the people to pray over you. That's scriptural. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2. See, people get burdened down because they think their problems are too big. They're too big to solve. They're too big to share. And there's help right outside the door. They just don't take it. The help is God, folks. God can work through all sorts of things. It says, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God. The peace of who?
God.
The peace of God. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. I can't tell you how it works. I do know that it works. I do know this. It takes faith. I do know this. It takes prayer. I do know this. It takes actually believing that God can solve it. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your what? Hearts and minds. Through Christ Jesus. Oh, folks. We need to cast our care on Him. We need to accept the peace that only He can give. He gives peace when we're troubled. And that peace guards our heart. You know, everybody goes through trouble. Paul. When he had a problem, most people thought it was an eye problem. Maybe because of what happened on the Damascus Road, because he was struck blind. We know it's kind of got an insight in it because Galatians, it says that you would even give your eyes for me. And Paul had this physical problem. It caused him an emotional struggle. And he goes, and what does he do? He prays. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts praying. And he prays once, and he doesn't get an answer. You know, a lot of us just give up. Oh, God's not going to answer. That's it. I'm done. You know, this is not like instant potatoes. It takes a little bit of time and effort to this. So he prays again. Remove this thing from me. Doesn't happen. Proves a third time. And so, he's truly burdened. God knows he's burdened. We're on the same page. And then, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he says this. Christ says this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, sometimes We want God to take away our problems. God never said He would take away your problems. He said with the temptation, He'll give you the strength to endure it, to get through it. That's what, He doesn't take away my problems, therefore I'm not going to come back to church anymore. I'm not going to follow Him anymore. God doesn't take away your problems. He makes you be able to deal with them. So whatever we find out is our solution, we can offer to other people that's going through the same issue. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then he says an incredible thing. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may what? Rest upon me. Oh, folks, do you want the power of God to rest on you? Then you need to rest in God. You need to come to Him for physical rest. You need to come to Him for emotional rest. But most important, you need to come to Him for spiritual rest. In verse 29, He says, take my yoke upon you. People want spiritual rest, but they don't want the requirement for it. The requirement for spiritual rest is God and God alone. Take His yoke upon you. Okay? And then the second thing is, a lot of people just, okay, I have a relationship with Christ, everything's going to be hunky-dory. No! He says, and learn of me. And learn of me. See, that's called discipleship. We need to grow beyond the baby steps and go beyond that, and so we have the knowledge of God so we can understand these things. That's where Paul was in this. And then he says, then you'll find rest to your souls. No, James says, he says, you have not because you what? Ask not. So the promise is that you'll find rest to your souls if you do things God's way. He says, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. The third thing is, you need the character of God. Don't expect God to do things for you if you refuse to be like Him. If you refuse to let the Holy Spirit control you, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. See, our souls will never rest until they rest in Him. The nation of Israel in Isaiah's day was falling away. They were being afflicted by enemies outside and inside. Things weren't going well. They weren't having good crops. Everything was going wrong with them. Isaiah comes on the scene and starts preaching to them. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 3, it says this, and it shall come to pass in that day. What? In that day that you come to Him. Don't be short of it. Come unto me and you'll find rest. Come unto me and you'll find rest. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee what? Rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. See, but the point is we miss the whole point. And we struggle for rest. I don't understand. God gives us everything for life and godliness, and we want to go out and find the solution in the world. Nope. You're not going to find it in works. You're not going to find it in ritual. You're not going to find it in religion. You're not going to find it in the pursuit of defection. You know what all that does? It just brings you down. It just brings you down. You can't make a rule to keep doing the right thing. The Jews thought that if they made more rules that they could keep God's law better. And all they did is they just frustrated themselves. Adam and Eve were given one command in the garden, don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve added to it, don't touch it. Well, if I don't touch it, I won't eat it. Well, guess what happened? That didn't work, did it? Mankind struggles to find rest of soul will not work. In Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 10 through 11, it says, that which has been named already, and it is known that it is man, neither may he contend with him that is what? Mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase what? Vanity. What is man the better? Give yourself up to God.
Amen.
Give your spirit to God. Let Him give rest to your soul. Because only Jesus can bring rest of soul in this passage. Look at the pronouns. Me, I, my. It's Christ and Christ alone that can do this.
Amen.
Only Christ brings rest of soul. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to whose mercy? His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Folks, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have rest.
Amen.
All these things are trying to drive you to God. You need to find Christ today and find rest in Him. He loved you so much that He came down, He lived a perfect life, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid the penalty of sin, which is death. He was buried for 3 days, and on the third day He rose again to show He had power over sin. He sits in heaven, and He says, all you have to do is ask me to forgive you and receive my gift of eternal life, and I'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Shall be saved. Maybe you need that today. If you've never done that, if you don't know where you spend eternity, get that right today.
Amen.
Folks, for us as Christians, maybe we need to go back to His rest. Maybe we need to come back to His rest. We need a renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He gives it when we get saved. But sometimes we walk away from Him. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not make provision for the flesh. There's all sorts of things here. Maybe we just need to come back to basics. Come back to what God's given us. He's given us Himself to live that. Come to Jesus and find complete rest in Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask Me with this time of invitation. Father, just help us find rest in You today. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, maybe on the internet, that this would be the day that they would cry out to You and ask for forgiveness of their sins and accept You as Savior. Lord, for us that may be struggling physically, Lord, or emotionally, Lord, or spiritually, that You renew us. You renew our strength. You renew our heart and our mind. You give us peace that passeth understanding. And Father, help us, Lord, to stand in that rest. We give You this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.